All right, so a lot of different things you can do with this onion. We're going to try to, I'm going to try to go to the basics, and then we'll try to, we'll see how much time we have to go a little further than that. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara in Tainus. Tana Rabbanan, Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kol mitzvos hanogos ba'avil nogos b'tisha b'av. We observe all of the mitzvos that are relevant to an avil on Tisha B'av. Asur b'achila r'shtia v'sichom nils asandov tash b'shamita. And then it continues, Asur likros b'torah b'nevim v'ksuvim, in alon alon Tanakh. Vishnos b'mishna b'talma midrish v'alachs v'agodos. And you're not allowed to learn Torah Shabbal Peh. Not allowed to learn any written Torah, you're not allowed to learn any oral Torah. Avol, but, korehu b'makom she'ino ragil likros. So the first exception is you can learn things that you're not very fluent in. Vishone makom she'ino ragil lishnos, you can learn Torah Shabbal that you're not used to reading. You can learn Torah Shabbal Peh that you're not used to learning. Vekore b'kinos, you're allowed to read kinos. What's kinos? Don't say kinos. What's kinos? When Chazal say kinos, they mean echa, right. The Eov, you can learn Sefer Eov. V'dvar ma'raim shebi Yirmiyah, you can learn much of Sefer Yirmiyah, all the negative parts of Sefer Yirmiyah. The tinokos shall base Rabban v'telim. And we cancel the elementary schools. We cancel the children from learning with their Rebbeim. Mishum shenemar, p'kudei Hashem yishar misam chelev. And the reason for all of this is, p'kudei Hashem yishar misam chelev. The Torah makes a person's heart happy. It's not on in the Gemara, but yeah, I don't think Kohelet sounds. No, it's insightful. It's not the same level of sadness. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af eino kori b'malkam sheino ragel likros. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, there's no heter to learn something. Eino shana b'malkam sheino ragel lishnos. He says, there's no heter to learn something that you're not familiar with. That's not enough of a heter. Avol kariu b'iyo v'kinos v'dvar maram shabbi yirmiyal v'tinokos shel beis rabban v'telim bo v'shem shenem rabban kudei shem misam chelev. So he agrees that you don't have tinokos shel beis rabban. You can read the sad stuff that's on the list, but you're not allowed to just learn things that are difficult for you. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so let's just in terms of getting the basic sources down, let's take a look in some of the sources here in terms of what is permitted and what is not permitted on Tisha B'Av. So you're not allowed to learn Mikra. Mikra includes basically all of Psukim de Zimra then, because it's mostly Prakim of Tehillim. And that's which not from the Tehillim is really from other sources in the Torah. So you shouldn't be allowed to say Psukim de Zimra. You shouldn't be allowed to say Karbonos. Shouldn't be allowed to say many things. So right away the Rishonim address this. If you look in the Ritva on that Gemara in Tainus and the Meiri on that Gemara in Tainus, they both say it is totally mutter to say Karbonos. It's totally mutter to say Psukim de Zimra, and for two slightly different reasons. So it says the Ritva, Masha Asru Likros Betorah Mishnah Talmud. Hainu beva likros derech hamikra mishnah v'talmud. That's if you're coming to learn it. Ain seder hayom b'chlal. However, the seder hayom is not included in this, meaning that which is normal as the order of the day is permitted. Shari karen b'torah maftir b'navi. We have kriyas haTorah and a maftir and a haftorah on Tisha B'Av. How could that be? Right? Karen kriyashma. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa kriyashma. You can read all of Karbanos that we normally read. There's nothing to worry about. Basically, the Ritva's Shita is the Seder Hayom is not Ma'akev. Anything which is part of the Seder Hayom can continue to be part of the Seder Hayom. It's only what we would call sitting and learning. You're only not allowed to get involved with actual Seder Halimud. The Meiri says something similar, but not exactly the same. He says that maybe we should learn Yesh lemedim nikan shelo likros b'tisha b'av parshas korbanos, but zolom ratzavis korbani. Mishnah says umakolman v'edush Rabbi Shmuel v'lo shira sayam ve'eni roet toelus v'divrayim. I don't know what they're talking about. Shim kain kol psukin izimra. Meaning why just shira sayam? Why not the rest of psukin izimra? Right, you shouldn't be allowed to say that either. Ela kol shu nemar derech shevach, v'derech sheyisorer adam b'hem lachnia levava l'tfila, ein by mishum simcha umutter. These are not things that are included in the isser of simcha. Either A, it's to praise Hashem, or B, it's to prepare a person mentally to be able to daven. So if it's doing one of the two things, meaning number one, so you know, the first thing that you could be doing is to prepare yourself to daven by, we have the concept of la'olam yisader adam shavacho shel makom v'achar kach yispalo. That's one of the sources. That's one of the sources of Psukei DeZimra, that you're supposed to first praise Hashem and then you're davening. One of the reasons we praise Hashem before we daven is that we want to get some perspective. We want to have a proper hachno'as halev. We want to then, you know, first we realize with whom we are dealing, right? We're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom, worthy of all these praises. Then we're going to daven more properly because now we've spoken to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we've spoken about the praises of Hashem. Now we're ready to daven. So that's not a problem. And similarly, if you're just trying to praise Hashem, or you're trying to do that, that's also not a problem. So it's only when you're learning mamash. Okay, so just one simple kasha on both of these Rishonim is, should that really be the case? Meaning, should it be so that something either A, because it's the Seder Hayom, I mean, that's very nice, but if there's an Isser to learn Torah, it should not really matter that it's the Seder Hayom. And number two, or B, I don't know if I said A or one. So B, if Torah makes you happy, if Torah makes you happy, and that's the reason why we forbid Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, so obviously, like we said, the fact that Seder Ayom or it's to praise Hashem is irrelevant, should be irrelevant. And also, what parts of Torah it is should also be irrelevant. Who cares if it's the sad parts of Torah or the happy parts of Torah? What does Pekudei Asher Mishar Misam Chilev mean? That the Torah makes you happy, or it means the happy parts of Torah make you happy? Or the stam parts of Torah make you happy? L'chorit means Torah makes you happy. Otherwise, we should asser other things that make you happy. Meaning, there are tons of things in the world that make people happy, and they have happy parts and sad parts. So we should just say you're not allowed to get involved in happy things, and you're allowed to get involved in sad things. The end. It's not, so there's nothing special about the Torah. The fact that the Gemara goes out of their way to quote the Pasuk that it's the Torah that makes you happy seems to indicate that there is a specific, there's a specific factor about the Torah that induces simcha into a person, and therefore it should be forbidden no matter what. So that's those are two points that we're going to have to clarify. Let's halacha l'maisa in the Shulchan Aruch Tisha B'av Aser Berachitza V'sichu Nils Asano Tashem Amita V'Aser Likros B'Torah V'Nivin K'suvim Lishnas B'Mishnah Medrash B'Gemara V'Alachs V'Agados Mishum Shenem B'Kudei Shem V'Sam Chilei V'Tinokel Shel Beis Rabin B'Telem Bo Aval Korehu B'Iov U'B'Dvar Maroim Shebi Yirmia V'Im Yesh B'Neim P'Sukei Nechama Tzarech L'Dalgam. So the Shulchan Aruch just throws in that if in between, sometimes there are some happy psukim there too. Even in Eicha, there's like one or two psukim here and there that seem to be a little bit of a consolation, but then we go right back to the sad part. So so the Shulchan Aruch is saying you're supposed to skip any of the sad parts of Yirmiyah, of Yirmiyah or any of these parts that you're supposed to, you know, that have consolation in them. Okay, but this is the way we paskin, and we say that there's no Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, there's no Yeshiva Katanas in those days, no elementary schools, and you're not allowed, really very limited in what you're allowed to learn. The post can point out that there are other parts that you're allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn Ilchas Tainis, Ilchas Tisha B'Av, Ilchas Avelus. You're allowed to learn the Gemaras in Gittin that deal with the Churban, you know, basically in Yanei Diyoma, right? You can learn, although... We'll just maybe we'll talk about it a little more, but it's not whatever. There are definitely parts that you're not allowed to learn even within those categories. You really should not be learning up major sugyas, learning bi'iyun. Really should just be a pashut understanding of the basic sources. Okay, just want to see a couple more sources here. The Taz on the Shulchan Aruch and the Bach and the Magen Avram. Let's take a look. Taz comments on the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban B'Telem. Why do we cancel the yeshivos for the kids? It says, Nira Poshut. The I don't know what that stands for, but yeah, I don't know what he means by that. It says, the Sefer Eov, the Shar Dvarim Hamutarim, the Gadol, Mutar Lilmod Im HaTinoko. So he says, the question is, when we shut down the yeshivas, are we shutting down the yeshivas from all learning, or are we shutting down the yeshivas from their normal Seder Halimud? Right? So that's the question. Are we shutting them down altogether. Mistama, you would assume that you're allowed to teach children the things that you're allowed to learn yourself. Right? I would have thought that that we're only shutting them down to learn their normal Seder Ayom. Right? Because we're coming to teach you that even though sometimes the Rebbe feels a sense of tsar when he's teaching the children because they're not listening or they're not understanding and it's very hard to explain it, so it's more of an avoda than anything else, so you might think that you're not allowed to learn with them. You might think that you are allowed to learn with them. Kamashmalan, that you are not. That's the way the Taz wants to explain it. Rabbi Meir svirle b'gemara dehuter lishnos b'mashu eino ragil. And Rabbi Meir's shita is that you're allowed to learn that which you're not used to. The avogad l'kaim elon kavase hayne b'limud shel atzmo. Even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, that's only when you're learning by yourself. Avle mitinokos avamina deshari. Maybe I would have thought that it's mutter to teach children. Because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that you're not even allowed to learn things that you're not used to, that you're not even allowed to learn things that you don't know, but I might have thought that's going to carry over to the children, meaning the kids don't know anything. You're going to teach the kids, and then that whole tsar of trying to sweat through that which you don't know yet will override the simcha, the isser is to learn on Tisha B'Av. So I would have thought that it's mutter kamash malan dafilo achi levatlo mizeh v'israel shalatinokos belimud. Stop there for a second. So kamash malan that it's usher to teach them no matter what. So basically we're saying that none of the heterim that you might have thought would have applied, that since there's tsar involved in teaching the kids, maybe it's mutter, and it's similar to Rabbi Meir's shita about learning by yourself and things you don't know, kamash malan that none of that applies. Now, the Isser Shalatinokos Belimud Ein Atam Mishum Shehem Smechem. Listen to this cute thing. Not because the kids are so happy when they learn. Devada Ein Lahem Simcha. Kids don't have any Simcha when they're learning. Ela Mishum HaMelamed Shesamach B'Divrei Torah Shalom Animayim. It's because of the Rebbe. He's going to be B'Simcha when he learns with them. And therefore, it's an Isser for him. So, first of all, the Taz is very insightful in a number of ways. But the main insight that it's important for us to keep in mind, besides the actual maskana of the Taz, is that since there is a degree of difficulty associated with learning things that you don't already know, so that was the havamin in the Gemara that it should be mutter to learn it on your own, according to Reb Meir. So that same havamina might have applied to Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban, meaning if you look back in our Gemara in Tainus, so our Shitas Rabbi Meir is very similar to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Our Shitas Rabbi Meir is that Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban Betelin, right? The Girsa that we have says that they don't have yeshiva, as well as Rabbi Yehuda holds that they don't have yeshiva. That's point number one. But Rabbi Meir holds it's mutter to learn things you don't already know, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's usher to learn things you don't already know. That's really the only difference. However, the Rif and the Rosh have a slight girsa change in Rabbi Meir. According to the Rif and the Rosh, he holds that Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban ain't on betelin. Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban continue to have yeshiva. So the Taz understands, no matter which girsa you accept, it flows very nicely if Rabbi Meir holds you're allowed to learn things you're not used to, and Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban have yeshiva. Right? Why? Because what's the whole heter over there for the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban to have yeshiva and to learn things that you're not used to? It's because there's a great deal of tsar involved in trying to figure it out for the first time. So just like there's tsar involved in trying to figure out a sugya for the first time, and you're stumbling and you're fumbling over the words and it's too hard, it's frustrating. So nevertheless, we don't, I'm very confused right now, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. So again, the Just so there's a difficulty in learning something for the first time. So Rabbi Meir holds it's mutter. So too Rabbi Meir would hold it's mutter to teach children. The children don't know anything, so you're teaching it to them for the first time. That's hard work. And there's stam tsar in being able to teach the children. So you would think that that same heter would apply. That's the girsa of the Rif and the Rush. And the girsa that we have in our Gemara is that Rabbi Meir says, even though it's mutter to learn something that you don't know already, and you would have thought to then apply that till Tinoko Shelbis Rabban, Kamash Malan, that we don't apply it to Tinoko Shelbis Rabban, because the Rebbe is still besimcha, even though the kids are not besimcha when they're learning.
It's two different shkafas on Bara.
What do you mean?
Is it a burdensome type of job that you have to do? It's very difficult to get rid of the kids and teach the kids. And the other one is that it's a simchas Torah.
No, so I don't think that's the case. I think they both agree what the job is, but I think there's a fundamental difference in terms of how you were understanding the Isser of Torah on Tisha B'Av. Meaning, there's definitely, we would assume in both cases that both things are true. There is a tsar, no question, right? I've been in the business for a while. There's definitely a tsar involved, and there's definitely a tremendous simcha involved. So, and that's the, Rabbi Noach Weinberg used to try to tell that all the time. He said, you ask people what's the opposite of pain, everyone will say, pleasure is the opposite of pain. He says, absolutely not. He says, pain and pleasure are very closely related, but they're not opposites. In fact, one is a prerequisite for the other. There is never any pleasure without first experiencing pain. And the more pain you experienced in effort and toil and blood, sweat, and tears, the greater the pleasure when you actually accomplish your goal. However, the question is, what is actually the isser of why we're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? That's really a much more fundamental issue that I want to come back to very shortly, but I just want to go through one or two more things. Specifically, the Bach and the Magen Avram. So the Bach comments, he doesn't comment on the Shulchan Aruch, but he comments on the Torah, which is basically says the same thing. So he says, Halashon Mashma, Shafila B'dvarim Arayim Shebiyirmi Yevekinos V'Iyov Aser V'lo Yadana Taim Amai. So he says again, right, the Taz said, of course it's mutter to keep the yeshiva open to teach them these things that you're allowed to learn. You're just not allowed to keep the yeshiva open to teach them the regular mesechta that they're doing. And the Bach says it sounds from the Torah and also sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to keep the yeshiva open to teach them anything. So he says, I don't understand why that would be. The Efshar, maybe the Pshat is, the Tinoko, She'ena Mevinim Betuv, Mashemotziyem Mipiyem. The kids don't understand what they're saying. When you have a kid, Tinoko Shelbis Rabin, right? What do they have in the... Nowadays, it's very common, and this is most likely what they were referring to in the Mishnayos also. You go to the Zilberman-type yeshivas, right? So what do they do in the Zilberman yeshivas?
Nice, right?
They memorize. They memorize, right? And that's that was the type of learning that they did in the days of Chazal, right? Kids memorize psukim. You start a pasuk anywhere in Tanakh. You start a pasuk, it could be the smartest kid in yeshiva, it could be the dumbest kid in yeshiva. Start a pasuk in Tanakh, he'll finish it for you. They know it mamish by heart. Every kid. Because that's what kids' brains can do. Chazal were very insightful in that way. They understood that the mind of a child is not built for lumdus, it's not built for depth, it's built for breadth, it's built for memorization. You memorize Mikra, memorize all of Tanakh, you can memorize much of Mishnayos or all of it even. You know, and then you're ready to start analyzing. Now you have everything to work with, you have a foundation, now you can start to play around with it a little bit, right? So that's why they have you not learning Gemara until you're 15 years old, when your mind starts to deepen a little bit, right? Becomes harder. Before 15 years old, you know, I don't know exactly the age, but before a certain age, it's much easier to memorize things, and part of the reason is because you don't get bogged down thinking about it too much, right? And then after that age, it's very hard to memorize things. It gets harder as you go. Your depth of thought might increase significantly, but your ability to memorize is not as good. So the Bach says, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Tinokol Shelbis Rabban. They just repeat the psukim. They don't know what they're saying. They just know to repeat it, right? So he says, V'ikir simchasam. But the kids, if you talk to the kids in these types of yeshivas, they love it. They love the yeshiva. What do you love? You literally sit in there all day and you memorize nonsense. They love it. They can't get enough of it, right? And even if they could, they have lots of yeshiva, so it doesn't matter. But ikr simchasam amashe yodin betuv Lehakros Roshea Parshios. Right? He says the whole simcha that they have is that they know it. They know how to read it. They memorized it, right? So that's all they have in simcha. So Ein Lechalek being Divrei Nechamos or Divrei Aram. So for them, it doesn't matter what pasuk they're reading. It's all the same. Right? It's all the same. So therefore, it's not going to make a shred of difference what they're learning. Avalatino kshigia lemidazu shemavin mashu omer inachinami demutter lomod imo bidvar marav. If the kid is on the level where he actually knows what he's reading, then you would be allowed to learn your mio with him, you'd be allowed to learn echo with him, etc. Because then he would understand that it's depressing. Okay, so that's another point to file away in our analysis of the situation, that the Bach points out that kids who don't understand what they're learning, they will not be besimcha. They will be besimcha no matter what. And kids who do understand what they're learning, when they learn the bad stuff, they won't be besimcha, so that's mutter. Magen Avram, afilu dvar maroim asu lomo de matinok, di ikr simcha zatine, mashu yodeh likros afa pishenu maven, avalatinok shemaven, mashu omer mutter lomo de dvar maroim. That's the quote from the Bach. You're not allowed to learn with other people. You want to learn something with a kid, you can learn in Yanei Churban, which is heartbreaking, and it's sad, and you can tell them stories, but that's about it. Okay. Fine. So let's go back to our Gemara a little bit and try to understand it. So we have two Rabbi Meirs. We have two versions of Rabbi Meir. We have version number one of Rabbi Meir, which is that it's mutter to learn things that you don't normally learn. And we still cancel the yeshivas. And Rabbi Huda argues and he says, yes, we cancel the yeshivas, but you're not even allowed to learn those things that you don't normally learn. And version number two of Rabbi Meir is the Girsa of the Riff and the Rush, where Rabbi Meir says, you're allowed to learn that which you don't normally learn, and you are allowed to keep the yeshivas open. So let's deal with that Rabbi Meir first. What's his sheet? L'chora, the pshat in that Rabbi Meir, again, he says, you're not allowed to learn most parts of Torah. You are allowed to learn the sad parts of Torah, and you keep the yeshivas open, and you're also allowed to learn things that you're not fluent in. What's the pshat? L'chora, that version of Rabbi Meir holds that the isser of Limud HaTorah on Tisha B'Av is you're not allowed to feel happy. The isser is hargosha simcha b'shas limud. You're not allowed to feel happy while you're learning Torah. Therefore, those things which you might feel happy when you're learning them, i.e. most of Torah, or any parts of Torah that you're somewhat fluent in, that is going to be forbidden. However, those parts of Torah which in some way will elicit a negative feeling, right? I know for myself personally, sometimes I'll read a Gemara, sometimes I'll read a Rishon, I have no idea what he's talking about. And there's a tremendous Chalisha Sadas. What, I've been doing this for some time now, and already, how could it be that I'm going to open up a Gemara? I don't understand one word of it. How could I be reading a Tosfos? I don't know what he's talking about. It's very depressing. So you're learning, and you don't understand. You're learning, and you're fumbling through it. So Rabbi Meir says, you're not going to feel so besimcha. The natural tendency of teaching, of learning Torah, is that you will feel besimcha. That's very nice. But there are exceptions to every rule. And the exceptions here are either, number one, things that are inherently sad, right? That will stifle your feelings of simcha when you learn. It's going to hurt you because you're reading such sad stuff. You're not going to feel the happiness per se. Number two, things that elicit certain difficulties when you're learning them. Meaning while you're learning, it's so hard and you're so stuck and you're so upset. So that's really enough that we're going to permit it on Tisha B'Av. It's going to stifle the feelings of simcha that you have. Similarly, you're allowed to run a yeshiva on Tisha B'Av, because the kids, there's no issur for the kids, they're just repeating whatever they're repeating. And the Malamed, again, he might have simcha in the Torah that he's teaching, but in the end of the day, the tsar that he's feeling on the outside and the difficulty in trying to give it over, that will stifle any feelings of simcha that the person will have.
What about saying like learning laning?
What?
Learning laning for Shabbos.
So learning laning for Shabbos. Right, it's a little difficult, but I think that when you do Kriyas, when you practice Kriyas HaTorah, whatever, there's a progress there. You know, you make progress pretty steadily. You know, so it's so I think it's something along the line. It would be like learning. That would be what the Gemara meant when it said you're not allowed to learn Mikra. Mikra means just the laning, just the words. Right. So that's Lechora Shitas Rabbi Meir according to that Shita. You'll argue, when I'm learning something new and I finally plow through it at the end and I know something that I didn't used to know, so now I feel very proud of myself. So I open up the Gemara and I don't know what I'm doing, and then finally I don't know what you could do. You think about it, you work on it, you look up some words, you try to make it yours, and then you're Yotze, you're Kona the Torah. So it's a tremendous positive experience. Nevertheless, that's not the simcha that's usher on Tisha B'Av. That's not the type of simcha. That's a simcha, a different kind of simcha, and maybe an even greater simcha. But in the end of the day, that's not the simcha that's usher on Tisha B'Av. That's not what we call a joy. That's more of a liberation. You know, a person feels liberated from the difficulties that were in front of him. But that's not what's going to be forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Similarly, we permit that which is the Seder Hayom / something which is necessary for tefillah, according to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because since you're just running through it anyway and you have ulterior motives, what's your ulterior motive? You don't really intend to be learning. So again, it's not going to elicit that great feeling of simcha that we would have if we were actually intending to learn something. Rather, it's being learned on a very low level, and therefore the feelings of simcha will be very limited. That's all within the girsa of Rabbi Meir that the Rif and the Rosh have. What about our girsa of Rabbi Meir, which says that yes, you are allowed to learn things that are not you are allowed to learn things which are unfamiliar to you, but you're not allowed to run a yeshiva. So he says that's different. The Taz wrote that we are choshesh for the hanah of the malamed, meaning there's very little difference fundamentally. According to Taz, there's very little difference fundamentally between Shitas Rabbi Meir according to the Rif and the Rosh and Shitas Rabbi Meir according to the way we have it, which is that fundamentally speaking, they agree that the Isser is Hargosha Simcha B'Shas Limud. However, according to our Girsa, you're allowed to keep the yeshivas open. Why? Because you might think, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to keep the yeshivas open because the Malamed will still feel a sense of simcha from the learning that he is doing, right? And you'll say, we were saying before do we view the Malamed as doing something that's besimcha or doing something that's betzar? The simple answer is, we view him as doing something that's both, meaning there's simcha at the beginning and there's tzar at the beginning and there's simcha at the end. So in the end, the Rebbe will feel a great sense of simcha, but that's not the simcha that we aser. We aser the simcha of Torah much more than we aser the simcha of accomplishment, right? We're not asering. You're allowed to accomplish something on Tisha B'Av. You're just not allowed to do something that's inherently something which is mesameach you. And therefore, even though the malamed will feel a sense of simcha when the children actually learn something, and they didn't now they know something that they didn't know before, so that's going to be something that still would have been permissible according to one girsa, but according to our girsa, we forbid it, but only because of the Simchas HaTorah of the Malamed, according to the Taz. This is all within Shitas Rabbi Meir. We don't accept Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rather, we accept Shitas Rabbi Yehuda LaHalacha, that it is usur to be osek in something that's eino ragil bo. And we never really answered our first question, which is there something inherent in Limud HaTorah which is mesameach a person? Sounds from the Gemara that inherent in Limud HaTorah is simcha. And therefore, One should really be forbidden to do any and all kinds of limud Torah on Tisha B'Av. It shouldn't matter if it's a Seder Hayom. It shouldn't matter if he has ulterior motive. It shouldn't matter. None of that should matter. It should be forbidden. It shouldn't matter if it's easy or difficult. Everything should be usur if that's our goal. So in order to explain Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, perhaps we could say the following. There is no usur, there's no isur on Tisha B'Av to feel simcha. That's not the isur. There's always going to be feelings of simcha when a person learns Torah. Pekudei Hashem yeshar misamchei lev. The Torah is misameach a person. Rather, what is the isur of simcha on Tisha B'Av? The isur is simply to show outward signs of joy. Meaning, what does it say in the pasuk? The Torah is misameach the lev of a person. The Torah makes your heart happy. It doesn't say it's misameach a person. It says misameach a lev, right? So whenever a person says any words of Torah, his lev rejoices. However, that doesn't mean that he always rejoices. Many people learn Torah and they don't rejoice at all. It doesn't mean that their heart is not happy. It just means that their self, their outward self, is not feeling a sense of simcha. So Rabbi Yehuda understands this and he says, you're not allowed to do any actions which will cause outward signs of simcha. And therefore, you are allowed to daven the Seder Hayom. Why? Because when someone davens the Seder Hayom, he's saying psukim of Tehillim, he's saying psukim of Korbanos, he's saying psukim of Az Yashir, his heart is dancing and singing and rejoicing. So what? In this world, in his physical state, doesn't matter that his heart is rejoicing, he's davening, right? He's davening. I remember once I heard a shmuz from Rabbi Cohn, where he was talking about, he was so insulted by the concept that someone says when you daven up the Gemara, right? He says, don't daven up the Gemara. That's an insult to davening. Right? He says, what do you mean? The way you describe saying something very quickly with no feeling or understanding is davening? It's like, that's not good, right? So he says, it's an insult. Obviously, you don't want to learn Gemara that way either. But nevertheless, davening should not be the term that we use for saying things very, very quickly and not thinking about them at all. But lamaisa, that is the term that we use, right? So, why? Because when a person davens, inherently, it's not an intellectual pursuit. It's not an emotional pursuit as much as it should be. And therefore, when a person says the psukim of Korbanos, his face doesn't change, his mouth doesn't change, his eyes don't change. He says the words, right? There's not going to be any emotions that come to the forefront. There's not going to be anything that shows on the outside. And therefore, it's mutter to read things that are the Seder Hayom, either the Heter of the Ritva or the Heter of the Meiri. That's when it comes to the Seder Hayom. What about learning things that you're not used to? So there, it's different, according to Rabbi Huda versus Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda's shita is not that a person is not allowed to feel simcha, because he's holding that a person will always feel simcha when he learns. It's going to be difficult for him. Yes, it'll be difficult for him at the beginning, but at the end, you're going to see the world's biggest smile on his face. He's going to be so proud of himself. He's going to be so happy. Look, I used to think that this Gemara was the hardest thing in the world. Now I realize I just needed to look at this a little bit differently. I needed to know what this word meant, and everything falls into place beautifully. It's going to be a tremendous sign of outward simcha. And therefore, that's what's forbidden. So you can't, learning the difficult things that you don't know yet, that's going to lead a person to great joy. And not the type of joy that you feel in your heart, but the type of joy that comes out and displays itself for everybody to see. Similarly, you're not allowed to run the yeshivas on Tisha B'Av for the same reason. And not only that, you can explain, according to at least some of the opinions, that you're not allowed to really teach the kids anything. Even if you're teaching the kids the things that are mutter for you to learn, what does the Magen Avraham say? You're not allowed to learn anything with anybody. Why not? Because there's a geshmak in the reyus, in the chabura, in the friendships that are formed over limud haTorah, right? So avada, the Torah is going to be misameach a person's lev. That always happens. But it's more than that. When you then try to explain something to somebody else, you get an additional level of geshmak. There's a certain something that comes out that we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid that Torah-based relationship. We're trying to avoid that sharing of Torah, which is something that our neshamas yearn to do, and therefore that's really going to bring out a great deal of simcha, even if you're learning the Dvarim HaRoyim. Says the Magen Avraham, you want to tell some stories, you know, okay, tell some stories. You want to talk dafka about the Churban, things that are so outwardly sad, and they don't require any yegia, they don't require any depth of understanding. You just want to tell somebody a story, that's not going to be geshmak. Why? Because you don't have to think about it, you don't have to work at it, you don't have to try to convince the other person of what's going on here, and therefore, you don't feel nearly as much of a connection to it, etc. Right? Saying that, I once asked somebody a long, long time ago, I said, how come a person feels so much more of a geshmak when they say a chiddush in learning than when they just learn what's already written? I said, if the whole idea is that Torah is supposed to be a mesameach a person, so how come, you know, just reading Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor is not the same as saying over something, a new concept that you think you uncovered, right? So one of my rabbeim once suggested to me, he says, because that's the atzmius of Torah. A person is uncovering his own chelik in Torah when he says over a chiddush, when he has a new havana. There's different kinds of chidushim, right? Some have been famous for saying that the fact that I didn't used to understand something and now I do understand it is also a chiddush. Right, that's also considered a chiddush, and that's also a kinyan in a person's own chelik in Torah. And therefore, to get to that point where a person is saying over chidushei Torah, a person is able to explain to somebody else, as they say in the name of Reb Chaim, that's the ultimate sign that a person understands it, that if you're able to explain it to somebody else, that means you really know what it means. So it's a tremendous amount of simcha there, because one is unearthing his own chelik in Torah. And the fact that he might be learning Dvarim HaRoyim doesn't change that. There's still going to be a tremendous outward sign of simcha. So what's the Dvarim HaRoyim there for? What's the goal of only learning Dvarim HaRoyim? It's because that when you learn the Dvarim HaRoyim, Shirbi Yirmiyo, when you're talking about the Churban HaBayis, or when you're learning Iyov or Hilchos Avelus or something like that, so then it's going to stifle that simcha from sort of coming out and showing itself in this world. You know, you see a guy with a tremendous smile on his face. Oh, what are you learning? I'm just learning about all of Eo's children dying. That's great. You know, that's not generally the way people act. And if they do, maybe they should call someone. So, but if you're reading about sad things and it's showing outward signs of joy, that's very rare. And therefore, Rabbi Huda is not choshesh that a person is going to be motzi simchaso lechutz, because the content itself will prevent that from taking place. And therefore, but the main thing that I'm trying to bring out here is that I don't think Rabbi Huda holds, and this is again the way we paskin, I don't think Rabbi Huda holds that there is an isser to feel simcha from Torah, because any Torah that a person learns will memela cause his heart to feel simcha. The only question is, what does he do with that simcha when he feels it? If the simcha is yotzi l'chutz, then he's violated the avera of b'kudi Hashem m'sar m'sam chilev on Tisha B'av. But if the simcha is not yotzi l'chutz, he hasn't done anything wrong. And that's why many posts can point out that you shouldn't learn anything bi'iyun. You shouldn't necessarily delve into the depths of a sugya, because no matter what the more you get away from the basic content of any sugya, the more masked it becomes. Meaning, you forget that you're learning, you forget what you're learning actually, and now you're just learning, is it a din in the Chefter or a din in the Gavra? It doesn't matter whether it's a Chefter Gavra in Hilchos Avelus, it doesn't matter whether it's a Chefter Gavra in Hilchos Sukkah or Shavuos Eidus, it doesn't matter anything. It just gets back to the nitty-gritty details. And number two, the more chidushim a person comes out with, the more he feels the atzmius of his learning, the greater the likelihood that the simcha is going to be yotzi l'chutz. Therefore, the post can recommend that you just learn things kipshuta. You just say over, here's the halach. You want to learn Hilchos Avelus, you just say, Machaber says this, Rama says that, the Shach says this, the Taz says this, Pesachei Tshuva says this. Okay, let's move on. You know, that's it. You try not to really delve into it too much. Because then it will definitely be something which causes the simcha of a person to come to the forefront. Okay, there's more to say on this. Maybe a different time we'll try to discuss a little bit more, but for now we'll hold it there.
What's going to be huge? You need to get a really big ish.
So don't learn it. I don't. That, according to the way we analyze it, maybe you shouldn't learn EO. You should learn something else. But yeah, no, people like reading the stories of the Churban. Just because they're fun stories in that sense, and we don't feel any sense of sadness because of the Churban, because it's so far away. But that's not a good thing, you know. That's the Gemara is in Hanizuk, and those are the most exciting Gemaras. Like, I guess, like, everybody likes a good story, but a sad story. The stories about children jumping and committing suicide, and stories about people dying. Not that never, this woman loses all her children. And so, like, I know there's a story value to it, but at a certain point, we should actually pay attention to what the stories are saying. You know,
the Holocaust stories.
Yeah, people love reading Holocaust stories; they love it. But we should try a little bit to relate to them, not just to read them as cool stories, but to relate to them a little bit. You know.